Amen. Now the hymn writer, John Newton, says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." And by those words, John Newton describes to us his great conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a deep-dyed sinner, but the Lord saved him and rescued him by His grace. He transformed his life. He became an eminent servant of the Lord for the rest of his days. And by his conversion to Christ, it shows us that no one is so far down in sin that they cannot be saved. In the world tonight, yes, there are many and they are concerned about their sin. But they will not seek the Lord for salvation. Such is the depravity of their sin. They feel they're so far down that God cannot save them, that God cannot deliver them. Well, if the Lord saved John Newton, then He can save anyone who calls upon Him for salvation. Yes, the hymn writer speaks of the Lord, and the hymn writer says of the Lord, His love has no limit, His grace has no barriers, known unto men. And how true that is of the love of Christ, how true that is of the grace of God in the salvation of sinners. As you read through your Bible, you'll read of many who were saved out of terrible depths of sin and iniquity. And Manasseh is one such example whom we've read upon and read about tonight. His early life was one of terrible sin and terrible shame against the Lord, yet he repented of his sin. The Lord heard his call. He called in faith upon the Lord, and the Lord saved him. And without any shadow of a doubt, he was a tremendous trophy of grace in his day and generation in which we live. Friends, you read of his conversion tonight in verses 12 and 13 of this 33rd chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. Look at those two verses. Notice what it says there about Manasseh and his conversion. It says in verse 12, "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, He was God." What a testimony. What a trophy of grace do we find in the life of this man, Manasseh. And tonight it is his conversion to Christ that I want us to consider. And I trust that tonight as we look at the Word of God and see what God's Word says to us about the Lord's saving grace in the soul of this man, that his testimony and what God has done for him and did in his life, even by the means of speaking to you in our meeting tonight who are yet unsaved, the means of bringing you this night to that place of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Notice first of all with me here Manasseh's situation. What was Manasseh's situation? Well, if you read the inspired record, the Word of God, you will see that his situation was one of great privilege. Manasseh had one of the godliest of fathers that you ever read about in the Old Testament. His father's name was called Hezekiah. And verse 2 of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, you read of Hezekiah, and this is what it says of him. "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." Hezekiah was a saved man. He was a man who obeyed the Lord, who loved the Lord, who trusted the Lord. He was a man of prayer. My Hezekiah was a good father to Manasseh. My, he is an example for every father to follow and to emulate in his life. Not only had Manasseh a good father, Manasseh also had a godly mother. His mother's name was called Hephzibah. And that word in the original language of the Old Testament really means "my delight is in her." And it speaks of the Lord's delight and that woman. Why? Because she too was saved by the grace of God. She knew the Lord. She loved the Lord. She trusted in the Lord. She was a woman of prayer, like her husband Hezekiah. Young person, let me say to you tonight in the meeting that it is a wonderful privilege. If you're born into a home, a Christian home, and have Christian parents. Parents who love you. Parents who pray for you. Parents who seek to show you right from wrong. Young person, don't despise your Christian parents. Rather obey them. Rather honor them. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yes, Manasseh had the privilege of godly parents. His situation was also one of possession. You look there at the beginning of the chapter 33, you'll see that at the age of 12 years, just when he was just a boy of 12, you see that Manasseh lost his father, and in losing his father, he became the heir apparent to the throne. Look there at verse 33 of chapter 32 and verse 1 of chapter 33, it says, "And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead." And Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His position was one of being now king upon the land, just as a young lad of 12 years of age. And my, it was a position of great peril. For in the king's court there were ungodly men. Men who sought to turn his young heart away from the Lord and the things of God. And that is what happened to him. Despite all the privileges he had, despite his position, Manasseh fell as a young man into deep and terrible sin before the Lord. Look at verse 2 of the chapter. Notice what the verse 2 says. It says of Manasseh, "But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." And why we're told there he did evil, that which was an abomination in the sight of God. He fell down into the depths of terrible sin. Why? And the reason for his fall was due to the fact that he had a sinful heart. He was born into this world with a sinful nature. You see, the Bible says, "For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And my, whenever the restraint of a godly father was removed, we see here how Manasseh turned his back upon the Lord. And upon the word of God. And he embraced sin and wickedness and all in his life that was contrary to God. He was a young man who went out to reap a whirlwind of sin in his life. Then let me say to you tonight, just as Manasseh was born into this world a sinner, so it is the same of you and I also. Every single one of us in this meeting have been born into this world a sinner by nature. A sinner by practice. Turning your Bible over to Romans chapter 3. Look with me at what the Word of God says here about every one of us in verses 10 to 12 of Romans chapter 3. Paul says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And if you're in the meeting tonight and you're still unsaved, this is your spiritual condition before God. A sinner by nature, a sinner by practice. The Word of God says there is none righteous, no, not one. My, irrespective of your privileges in life, irrespective of your position of life, maybe you've been brought up in a Christian home with a Christian family. Been baptized, catechized, confirmed, dedicated, even as a child. All these things in themselves put together and added together do not exempt you from being a sinner before Almighty God. Friend, if you're honest tonight, you must say with David in your heart before the Lord, "Behold, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity." That's how it is with you if you're unsaved. And my sin leads to terrible consequences in your life. Sin will lead to ruin in your life. Sin will lead to awful bondage to sin in your life. Listen to what Solomon says about sin in the life of the man. In Proverbs chapter 5 and the verse 22, he says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." It's as if a person was wrapped round and round and round with a rope. No escape. That's what sin will do in your life. It'll lead to ruin, it'll lead to bondage, it'll lead to tragedy. You can't break free from sin yourself. It leads to separation from God. The Bible says your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God and have hid His face from you. Now your sin condemns you to a lost eternity in hell. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. The Bible says the way of the ungodly shall perish. You're not saved tonight. You're in the way of being a perishing, lost, hell-deserving, guilty sinner, condemned already before Almighty God. Manasseh had great privileges, godly parents. He had everything given to him as a young man. Yet he went deep down into sin, away far from God. Friend, is that how it is with you tonight? Tremendous privileges in your life. Godly Christian privileges and blessings in your life. Yet tonight in your heart and in your soul and in your life, you're far, far away from God. Just like this young man, Manasseh. Yes, we see his situation. But secondly, tonight I want you to see how the Bible describes his sin. Look at Manasseh's sin. What does the Bible tell us about his sin? You notice that his sin was evil in God's sight. Look again at verse 2 of the chapter. It says of Manasseh, "But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Notice what the Word of God calls sin. Notice how it describes sin. It describes sin there as evil. And all sin is evil in the sight of God. The world in which we live, the day in which we live, it belittles sin. It laughs at sin. It mocks at sin. You think of the terrible sin of abortion. What does man call it in his own terms? Man just refers to it as a termination. The murder of the unborn, the innocent child. My man says it as a termination. But God calls it murder. For the sixth commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." My, the wise man Solomon says, "Fools make a mock at sin." Friend, tonight, whatever your sin is, realize this, it's an evil thing in the sight of God. It's an abomination in the sight of God. The Bible says your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All sin is terrible, evil, and desperately wicked in the sight of God. Yes, the sin was evil in God's sight. Notice something else here from the chapter. The sin was rebellion against his father. Look at verse 3 again of the chapter. It says of Manasseh, "For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them." My, he dishonored his father in undoing all that his father had done in days gone by, in days of reformation in the land of Judah. Yet he turned away from his father. He dishonored his father. All that his father had done. Oh, young person, let me say it tonight, when you dishonor your parents or disobey your parents, not only are you dishonoring and disobeying your parents, but realize this, you also sin against the Lord. What is the fifth commandment? It says to every child, every young person, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Here you see Manasseh dishonored his father. He brought in all the old idols and sin that his father had got rid of during his reign. Notice also here that Manasseh's sin was one of idolatry. Look again there at the end of verse 3. Says he reared up altars for Balaam
and made groves. And notice it, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. My, in worshipping false gods, what was he doing? He was breaking the first commandment and the second commandment. In the first commandment, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He says in the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Yet Manasseh brought in these idols and he put them before God. He put them between himself and God. And let me say this tonight, whenever you put anyone else or anything else before God, and you too are committing idolatry before the Lord. Friend, let me ask you tonight, what have you put between you and God? What have you put tonight between you and Christ? Between you and coming to Christ and seeking the Lord for salvation? Anything or anyone you put between you and the Lord and to that place where you'll come to saving faith and trust in the Lord, that thing or that person, whoever it is or whatever it is, it's an idol that you've set up in your heart between you and God. Are you just following tonight in the steps of Manasseh? Notice something else here, that a sin was one of desecration. Look at verse 4 of the chapter. It says there, of Manasseh also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. He desecrated here God's house by causing it to be used for the worship of false gods and false idols. And it should only have been used for the worship of the Lord in Jerusalem. Likewise, you and I also live in a day when God's house is being desecrated. Instead of it being used for the worship of the Lord, it's been used for every entertainment under the sun. Also, we live in a day when the Lord's own day is being desecrated more and more in our society. Sport, shopping, gardening, every other entertainment under the sun is now conducted on the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day is forgotten about and desecrated. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Friend, if you don't keep the Lord's Day holy, you're desecrating the Lord's Day. Just like Manasseh desecrated the house of the Lord. Notice something else here, that a sin that involved the occult and the powers of darkness. This young man went deeper and deeper into sin. Look at verse 6 of the chapter. It says, and he caused his children to pass through the fire into the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Here he is now involved in the occult, involved in the powers and the works of darkness. Friend, let me say to you tonight, never get involved with the occult or the stars, the astrology or the works of darkness. For if it's with such sin, you'll pay a terrible price. There's a terrible price for anyone who dabbles in such things. You'll see something else here about a sin in verse 9 of the chapter. It was infectious. He caused others also to sin by his own sin in his day and generation. Verse 9 it says, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. What an influence Manasseh had upon the people in his day. Caused them to do worse. Even than the very heathen who had lived in the land of Canaan, whom God had put out because of their sin in past days and past generations. And such was Manasseh's sin and rebellion. Not only did he go down deep into sin, but he led others. You see, sin is always infectious. Friend, realize this. Whenever you live for sin yourself, you have an effect upon others. You see, the Bible says none of us live unto himself. You lead others down into sin. Maybe it's a father leading a son or a daughter into sin. Maybe it's a mother leading a daughter into sin, or a brother leading a sister into sin. Friend, if you go on rejecting the Lord, turning your back upon the Lord, living as you please, doing as you please, then your sin has an effect upon others. You bring others with you in the downward path of sin. By something else, the Bible tells us that a sin was one of persecuting God's people. It was one of persecuting God's cause. Over in the record of Manasseh in 2 Kings 21 and the verse 6, this is what it says. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. We could say he had his own inquisition of the righteous in his own day and generation. He persecuted God's faithful people. He persecuted the cause of Christ. Friend, in the meeting tonight, you may not have killed another Christian, but to be angry against another Christian who has witnessed against you or witnessed to you, or to be angry against another faithful servant of God who has spoken to you the word of God faithfully, who has witnessed to you, who has prayed for you. My, it's a terrible thing in the sight of God. I tell you, to resist the faithful witness of another believer is to resist God Himself. You're resisting God Almighty. You remember what the Lord said to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Saul was against God's people. He was persecuting the Christians in his day. And then the Lord spoke to Saul and he stopped him in his tracks and he said this, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, friend, it's a solemn thing, it's a serious thing with God to resist the faithful witness of another believer, another child of God, another servant of God. Maybe somebody has been witnessing to you in recent times, speaking to you about your need of salvation, your need of Christ, your need of God. Yet you've been saying, I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear your message. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Friend, not only are you saying no to the witness of that other Christian, you're saying no to God. You're kicking against God, just as it was with Manasseh. But I want you to see something else here about this man's sin. His sin was one of refusing God's warning. What an awful thing to refuse the warning voice of God. Look at verse 10 of the chapter. Notice what it says. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people. What mercy the God of heaven should speak to this man. That God of heaven should speak to this people in their sin. Yet look at what the end of verse 10 says. But they would not hearken. They turned their heart, their ear away from the warning voice of God. What an awful thing to despise and turn away from the warning voice of God. The Bible says, he that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Friend, don't you reject God's warning voice, God's speaking voice to your soul. The Bible says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. God, has he been speaking to your heart in these days? Maybe through the gospel mission over there in Hamilton's Bond, as you've heard God's word, God has spoken again and again to your heart and to your soul. Yet tonight you're still out of Christ rejecting the Lord. Oh friend, don't turn away from the Lord's voice, from the Lord's call. For the Lord may cut you down in your sin, turning away from the voice of God. You see, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. If you die in your sin, you'll be forever lost in a lost sinner's hell. On the other hand, God may leave you to your sin. God may cease to speak. He may cease to strive with your soul, and your heart may be left to harden in your sin. You see, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Yes, God does strive. And if God has been striving with your heart, count it a mercy from God. Count it a mercy from heaven. But he warns you, he will not always strive. He will not always warn. He will not always speak. What if he should leave you in your sin? What if you should die in your sin? What if you should perish in your sin and a lost sinner's hell? Yes, it says here of Manasseh and the people, but they would not hearken. hearken. Is that how it is with you tonight? And you would not hearken? God has spoken. You've heard God's call, God's voice to rise up and repent of your sin and seek the Lord. Yet still you're going on further and further away from God, from His Word, and from His truth. What a list of sin, what a catalogue of sin is led against the name of this man Manasseh. And my, as we look at that list and as we think about it and add it all up, my, one would say, here's a man and he's beyond all hope. Here's a man and he's beyond all redemption. Praise God. God did not leave him to his sin. God intervened in mercy. God intervened in grace. And draws him to himself. And friend, I want to say to you tonight, no matter how far down in sin you may be, there is hope for you in the gospel. Hope for you in the grace of God and the mercy of God. Look at Manasseh's salvation. You read of his salvation there in the verse number 11. Notice how he was brought to salvation. He was brought to salvation by affliction in his life. It says, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the hosts of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. God intervened in his life. God sent the Assyrians into the land. They were a fearful enemy. Manasseh lost his crown. He lost his throne. He lost his kingdom. He lost his dignity. God brought him down into bondage, down into slavery. Manasseh was now reaping what he had sown in his life. Friend, must God bring you down like Manasseh to bring you to himself? Must God do that? If you will not yield to the gospel, if you will not yield to the witness of others, God may have to send some affliction into your heart and life and into your circumstances to bring you to himself. Maybe some tragedy, some loss, some sickness to bring you to repentance, to bring you to saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Remember the prodigal son. The young man who left the home, who went into the far country. The Bible says God let him go so far that the famine came and he spent his substance in riotous living and he began to be in want. And when he was down in want, the Bible says he came to himself. He began to seek the Lord. Over the year I've heard the testimonies of many Christians. Many will speak often their testimony. Some affliction, some adverse circumstance, some situation that God sent into their life to bring them to Christ. Recently I was listening to a testimony of a man there, and God took his business, took his wife, took his health, all to bring him to Christ, to bring him to the cross, to yield to the gospel. Friend, don't be stubborn. Don't resist God's call to trust Him for salvation, but rather yield now to Christ. Better yield to the gospel call of Christ than to experience the rod of affliction upon you from God. He was brought to salvation by affliction. Notice that his salvation consisted of prayer. Look at verse 12 of the chapter. It says, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. He cried to God. He called upon the Lord down in a dungeon in Babylon. Friend, if you are to be saved, you too must turn to the Lord as Manasseh did. And you must call upon Him. Cry out in faith to the Lord for salvation. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Think of old blind Bartimaeus sitting by the wayside. Jesus passed by and he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out, he called upon the Lord. Tell me, have you ever cried out and called upon the Lord to save you? This is what you must do if you're to be saved. Notice also that his salvation consisted of a humbling of his heart. Look at what it says there again in the latter part of verse 12 of the chapter. It says, and he humbled himself, notice it, greatly before the God of his fathers. God heard his cry. God saw the humility of his heart. And God saved him. How do we know that? Look at verse 13. It says, and he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication. God heard his humble cry. Then the Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. If you humble your heart before the Lord as a sinner, confess your sin to the Lord, trust only in Christ and his blood and his sacrifice upon the cross for your salvation, praise God, you shall be saved. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll forgive your sin. He will save your soul. He will give you peace with God, the assurance of eternal life in heaven. His presence will be with you in life. Are you willing to take that step tonight? To humble your heart before the Lord as Manasseh did. And cry unto God and call upon him for mercy. I want you to see tonight that his salvation was real. This man's life was changed. There was repentance in his life. Look at verses 15 and 16 of the chapter. It says of Manasseh, and he took away the strange gods. He was returned to Jerusalem. And the idols out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. What a change. What a turning. What an evidence here of repentance in his life. Turned away from his sin. It turned to God. You see, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Friend, for your salvation to be real, there must be repentance. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Turning your back upon your sin, a forsaking of your sin. A turning to Christ, a trusting in Christ. And by God's grace, seeking to live for the glory and the honor of God. Here's a young man, a terrible list of sin. Yet thank God, when God chastened him, and the rod of affliction came upon him, he humbled his heart, he sought the Lord. He went on to reign for 55 years in Judah. He became the longest serving monarch in the land of Judah because he knew God's blessing after he was saved and right with God. And he died a saint of God. Manasseh's soul at death went to be with the Lord in heaven. Then praise God what the Lord has done for Manasseh. He can do for you no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is. Just turn over there to Psalm 86 and just look with me here at two wonderful verses. Verse 5 and verse number 15 of the Psalm. And here the psalmist speaks of the Lord and he says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous mercy and truth. My Manasseh realized there was a God in heaven with whom he had to do. He realized there was mercy with the Lord. There was grace of the Lord if he had but humble his heart and seek the Lord. Then will you not do the same? Will you not avail yourself tonight of God's saving mercy and God's saving grace? Instead of going on in a mad career of sin taking you down to a lost eternity, will you not turn tonight and seek the Lord and call upon him for salvation? The Lord is ready to pardon, full of mercy, full of grace, and full of truth. Will you not tonight taste and see that the Lord is good? We're just